righty, are we live? Yes, we are. Barely, apparently. But we are here, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, my gosh. There's two things that we can all be certain of. One of them we don't like to talk about, and that's death. But we will talk about the other one, which is taxes and gambling. And what does it have to do with craps anyway? We're going to talk about it right now.
Welcome to the Color Up Podcast. Whether you're a seasoned player or a beginner eager to step up to the table, this is your lucky podcast that's all about the thrill and strategy of the casino world. I'm your host, Jeremy. With me is Jim the Professor.
Hey, hey, everybody.
Let's get rolling.
Yeah, barely is the key. We barely made it live. You did a great intro there.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you're not as crystal clear because you're on your webcam on your computer.
Yeah, my MacBook Pro. It made me so mad because I was so excited today. I got my monitor in a new place. You see, I'm gazing up because I was going to have my camera right below, and I could look into the camera like I was looking into your eyes, Jeremy.
Yeah.
And when we went to go do it, normally it's no problem, but today it did not work, ladies and gentlemen. So if you see me on YouTube gazing up, that's why, because I'm looking at Jeremy trying to make eye contact.
I know, you had the perfect studio setup. You improved it, and you told me, hey, we got it worked out, and then all the technical stuff just stopped
working. Bam, the mic stopped
working.
And it was
weird, too.
Yeah, the mic stopped working, the camera stopped working, stopped recognizing everything. So if I just stare aimlessly at the camera today, that's a shotgun blast there. But there you go.
It kind of works. So before that happened, how did the week go?
It went very well. I'm helping my sister-in-law move this week and getting back to normal, coming back off that mountaintop experience we all had, and getting back to normal, everything. Got some stuff done around the house and all. How about you? Did you have a good week?
I had a great week. Boy, it went by in a blur. I don't know how much work I did because my wife was home. So usually when my wife's home, I don't work that much.
Okay.
So I do know we went to the pool a couple of times. We had to shop and get stuff for the house and different things. Man, I worked on some video stuff and Dicer stuff and
I saw some
streaming stuff.
Yeah, we had a video come out, right? Was this week's one the one that about the zero, I think?
Yeah, I skipped again Thursday.
Yeah.
Just because I don't have the catalog built up. So I think Monday was the one where you bet on the seven.
Yes, that's what it was.
Every roll or something. And then, so tomorrow, starting tomorrow, I'll have the series that starts with 66 inside. So I did a 110 series. Now I'm going to do a 66. It's probably more reasonable for players like me.
Okay.
I don't know about you, but 66 is a more comfortable starting level for me.
Okay.
You're involved in the next, I think, couple videos. And then I'm also editing I haven't got it out done yet, but my cruise recap video.
Okay.
So I'm not
sure.
Yeah,
I was wondering what happened to that. I didn't know if
Yeah, it's going to happen, I think, no matter, depending on good or bad, it's going to come out one way or the other. So
I think it's going to be good in the sense that we all got cruise certificates, and I've already booked mine. I don't know if I mentioned it last week. No, I booked it this week. December, we're going down to Florida to visit my son, and we're going to take we're going to be missing Christmas, believe it or not. We're going to be leaving on, I think, the 22nd and going out on Utopia. So there you go.
Yeah, but before my wife went back to work, we narrowed down a list. Mm-hmm. I haven't called in, but I'm going to call in and see, and hopefully they have the first one available.
Yeah.
And we'll go from there. And then my cruise for September, I had a switch because I had put it in the calendar wrong.
Okay.
And I told my daughter, oh, that's a great time to get married. My daughter's getting married.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And so I'm like, that date's great. And then I looked, and my wife was like, are you sure that's the right date? And then I looked, and I had put it in the calendar wrong, so it wasn't the right date. So I'm not about to ask my daughter to move her wedding for some dumb cruise.
No.
So I am moving I was able to move my cruise. We couldn't keep the same one we liked.
Okay.
But instead of going to the Greek Isles, we're going to do Italy and Croatia, which
that sounds good.
Not too shabby.
That sounds good. Yeah.
Not too shabby.
Congratulations.
Yeah, that's about it. We can just jump straight into the topic.
Let's do it.
We really can't avoid it. We could cover it, but maybe we start off with this headline and then we'll go from there.
All right.
You think that works?
Yeah. Are you going to pull it up?
I'll pull it up.
Okay.
And it's just a quick the news, they give you a 2-minute little thing. So let's see what happens here.
Okay.
But there's plenty of concern about the big, beautiful bill passed by Congress and the impact on anybody who gambles a little or a lot. The changes impact how the IRS looks at what you win and what you spend. Critics say starting January 1st, you'll have to pay taxes on the money you lost.
This is a big deal to Las Vegas. It's a big deal to Nevada. This is something that's really not partisan. It harms everyone.
Derek Stevens, owner of Circa, has been vocal on social media how the changes to the tax code and the big, beautiful bill will hurt anyone who gambles. And he says it will cripple Nevada's primary industry and workers.
When you can only take 90% of the losses, that ends up being a really big thing.
Even if they break even, they're going to have to pay to gamble.
Yeah, no one wants to pay tax on phantom income. You could owe on income that you never received.
And what you owe to the IRS. When you win a certain amount, the casino informs the IRS. You'd get a form called a W-2G. For slots, it's a spin over $1,200. For poker, a win above $5,000 netted with the buy-in, a sports bet. 300-1. Deductions matter. Let's say a gambler spent $100,000, then wins it all back to break even. With a 100% deduction, it's a wash. You owe the IRS nothing, but in the big, beautiful bill starting January 1st, in that same scenario, you can only deduct 90% of your losses. Now you face taxes on $10,000.
So for the player that goes and draws up, goes to bingo, has $10,000 on that form, and they come to me and they say, Gary, dead break even. $0 loss, $0 gain. Yeah, that client is now going to have to pay tax on $1,000. It also affected their standard deduction.
Even for budget gamblers, CPA Gary Condler warns, very small tax burdens of a few bucks here, a few bucks there add up to a surprise when tax filing time rolls around. For his clients who play in the World Series of Poker, they are really concerned if they can afford to keep playing.
The high volume bettors are going to leave. There is a good chance the Circus Sports would lose 20% at a minimum. Maybe 40% of our handle is going to move offshore. It's going to significantly reduce revenues to the state of Nevada.
Now, what are Congress members doing? Immediately after the bill was passed, Dina Titus introduced her Fair Bet Act to restore the 100% deduction. On social media, she calls the effort in the House bipartisan, warning of the widespread economic hit to Nevada. In the Senate, Catherine Cortez Masto proposed a similar measure. It had support across the aisle from Senator Ted Cruz. Thursday, it was blocked by Indiana Senator Todd Young, who wanted to add an amendment for religious exemptions to taxes.
So there you go.
So that's the latest, which these budget bills, all these senators and congressmen, they just throw in whatever, right? There's the things end up thousands of pages long, and they just slip in on.
But every word was read on the floor, though, of the Senate. So
yeah, did he end up reading?
Somebody, he didn't read it. There was like two guys. Yeah, they took time.
I know they were talking about that.
Yeah,
yeah. I guess an Idaho senator got this in there, mm-hmm. whether anyone saw it or not, or cared or understood. It was signed off on, so it is currently law that will go into effect January 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there at the end of the video, they did mention that there are both people in the House and the Senate that are trying to pick new things
mm-hmm.
to
tweak,
basically override that, yeah. to go back. And then here's an interesting comment. So Bob says fake news, surprises not seen in gambling losses don't even affect the small gambler. It would only affect professional gamblers that are itemizing their deductions. That's incorrect. So I know you said this was a big deal, but
it's a nothing sandwich, like they said. But
nothing
we'll see.
Sandwich.
Yeah, that was.
We'll see. Now, if they pass the thing to override that and go back to how it was, it will be a nothing thing.
Okay.
So this is how, for the professional gamblers, I don't think it is. I don't think it's that big a deal, even though it seems like they would be the most affected. So what it is? Let's say you won $1 million.
Okay.
Gambling.
Yep.
And then you lost $1 million gambling.
You don't,
how much have you earned for the year?
That's a zero, but you sound pretty non-professional if you're winning and losing $1 million.
Correct.
Okay.
So
that sounds very amateur.
Or it's a bad year.
Okay.
That's
very
the,
bad
that's
year.
The point. So yeah. So those guys have some wiggle room, and they say this year I earned $100,000, so that's what I'm taxed on as a professional gambler. So they're taxed on $100,000. So that's why I say this doesn't really affect them at all.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I think it affects is the small-time gambler. And this doesn't really apply to craps or table games. And maybe I should back up and explain that first.
Yeah, go because it did list three tiers there, or three little things where it would cause that.
Yeah, the slots are different, and then poker's different, and then table games are different.
Okay.
So slots, if you anyone who's played slots, at $1,200 win, it's called a hand pay. They come over, they collect your information, mm-hmm. they give you the cash, but they report it to the IRS. So okay. now the IRS knows you won at minimum $1,200.
Okay.
So come tax time, if you don't say, hey, you know, I have this WTG, I won $1,200, they know you received it, so you better report it or else, you know, you could be in trouble or audited or whatever.
Okay.
That's simple enough. For the table game player, there is a stipulation where the bet, and it goes to sports betting too, the bet also has to win 300 to 1. So the limit is $600 or more. The bet has to pay off 300 to 1. So what bet on the craps table pays off 300 to 1, Jim?
Not a maybe. How about one of those really old, what's the one where you have to use 6 points?
You the go fire bet
fire
used
bet
to.
Used to. But
most of the
tables
have
yeah.
even changed.
Yeah.
Even if you hit 6 points, it goes to 299.
I would say nothing that I've seen or played.
So if none of them pay 300 to 1, that's why no one at the craps table gets a W2G.
Okay.
So what that means is you are never being reported to the IRS.
And that's a good thing.
Anytime we can avoid the government, especially the IRS, is a good thing.
It's good.
So here's the deal. So the IRS doesn't know that Jim won, Jim the professor,
or Jim lost
$50,000.
No,
okay,
it's not,
because they don't report anything.
No, and
so they don't know what he won. Now, you technically, all players are supposed to self-report and say, hey, IRS.
Yes.
I know no one told you, the casinos didn't report me on a W-2G, but I won $10,000 this year, and I would like to pay taxes on that $10,000.
Okay. You know anybody who's doing that?
No, I don't, Jim. We probably shouldn't say anything.
I'm not. And by the way, we're not tax experts.
Everything
we're talking about personally is made up. So,
yeah, these are just hypothetical situations. So you're supposed to self-report. Now, currently, it's not a huge deal because, again, we're not professionals. We're not making money. We might have a good year, but overall, we're not making money gambling. They didn't build these big no matter what you're playing
yes.
in the casino, unless you're maybe a poker player.
Blackjack.
You're losing money.
Blackjack, card counter.
My sister, as a tax preparer, should I be logging off? No, this is good information. You probably know this.
Yeah, she knows this. This is good for next year.
But don't listen to my personal stuff. So no one self-reports, but you should self-report and offer to pay taxes. Now, you are allowed to deduct any losses you have up to how much you win. So you won $20,000 this year in taxes mm-hmm. or in gambling.
Mm-hmm.
But you had, you had $30,000 in losses.
Okay.
So how much did you win?
Zero.
You won zero or negative $10,000. So you are allowed to deduct 100% of your losses against your wins.
Okay.
You can't deduct a $10,000 loss and say, hey, I won 20, but I lost 30,
okay.
so I lost 10. You can't deduct more than you lose.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Okay.
Okay. You can, however, deduct 100%. So if you won 20, you lost 20 or more, you say, it's a wash. I have zero now in my pocket because I won 20, but I lost over 20. So your tax bill is based off of that zero. So you don't owe any taxes.
Okay.
Now you do have to, you can't use the standard deduction. You have to itemize that.
Which means you need to be over... Whether it be,
because
you got to have enough deduction to get over that threshold, which I think Bob just put up in there. I'm going to pull that up. Bob had 14.6 for the single or 29.2 for married couple.
Yeah. And so that's where the problem comes into play is
thank you.
The standard deduction. I don't know when or what administration changed it, but it's pretty significant where most people, it's difficult to find enough things to itemize to get over the standard. So we just choose the standard, right?
Yes. Especially if somebody's a renter, that kind of thing. They don't have their home.
You don't have your home.
Yeah, or that kind of thing. You know, or charitable
medical bills.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things you can deduct. But as he threw up some of those numbers, mm-hmm. it's hard to find $30,000 in deductions, right?
Right.
If you're a middle-class person.
Mm-hmm.
So most people in that kind of category will just choose a standard. So if you choose a standard, now you can't deduct your gambling losses. So if you went to Vegas twice and you won, I don't know, a $1,500 jackpot and you won a $2,000 jackpot, mm-hmm. they reported that to the IRS. The IRS says, hey, you got $3,500 in gambling winnings. Either itemize
mm-hmm.
or you owe us tax on the $3,500.
Do you ever have the option of withholding it with the casino? Will they keep like 10%
or whatever?
Yeah,
there are certain amounts I think they will like withhold straight out of it. And I guess that's helpful.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure the casino is very concerned about getting that money to the IRS or the
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, you're prepaying your tax bill. But, mm-hmm. yeah, I don't know the rules on when they automatically withhold or they do withhold. But bottom line is, if you're unless you're itemizing, you're paying taxes on these W-2Gs.
Okay.
So that was the case. Okay, I gamble enough. I'm going to itemize my deductions. I can deduct 100% of my losses against my wins.
Okay.
Now, so this rule says now you can only do 90%. So this is a weird situation where grandma, maybe she goes once a month.
Okay.
And she wins $80,000 jackpots.
Woo!
It's not unreasonable. I've got a family member I see gamble all the time. He's winning 10 to 15 easily every trip, right?
Wow.
Not a huge gambler, but gambles enough to do that and gets these jackpots. So let's say you won $80,000.
Okay.
But no one's a winner at this game. So you've probably lost, if you keep track, you've probably lost, I don't know, 120?
Yeah.
Right? The normal take on a slot machine is somewhere in the 15 to 20% hold. So yeah, let's say you won 80 and you lost 100. You're negative 20 for the year. Your income
should be
zero.
Right.
Because you're negative. You've actually
lost
your
money.
Income is negative 20. So what should you be taxed on?
Zero.
Zero.
Yeah.
Now this new law is, guess what? You can't deduct 100%. You can only deduct 90%. So of that 80,
mm-hmm.
you can't, 8,000 of it, you can't deduct. So now you're down to 72.
So
you can deduct.
So you pay taxes on
the 8,000,
but you don't pay the 8,000. You pay 10% of the 8,000 in taxes.
Right. So they're going to say, hey, you could deduct up to 90%. So cool. I lost 120. I can deduct 72.
Okay.
But that leaves me with 8,000 that I'm going to be taxed on. Even though I lost $20,000, I've lost money gambling this year.
Right.
I've lost 20,000. But the government says, you know what? On 8,000 of it, we want tax. And in the middle income, you're in the 22 to 24% tax bracket. I know it could be laddered up.
10% would be 800, 20% would be $1,600. Yep. But it would be part of an overall tax preparation where at some point, hopefully you've got more deductions if you're itemizing. And
yeah, maybe.
Maybe it washes out and you don't actually owe money like you would if you underwithheld your employee withholdings.
Yes. Understand all that.
Okay.
But the bottom line is you're being taxed on approximately $1,600 is your tax bill.
Okay.
For losing $20,000 this year.
Okay. Now, you know what they say, Jeremy, a tax, when something's taxed, is that an encouraged thing or is it something to, when they tax something, they want it discouraged? So like the sin tax, they tax cigarettes, they tax alcohol. Why? Because at a higher rate, because they want less consumption of it. And it's the same thing for everything. The more you tax something, the less that you get. It's basic econ. So you would think there would be less losing the following year, right?
less losing.
Yeah, you're not going to be reporting it as much. You're not going to be gambling.
You know,
much.
That's the point. Like, it's automatically reported for you. Like, you have no option. You're going to be owing these taxes. And the problem is, grandma, who wins five times, she now owes tax even though she lost for the year. There's no getting around that. You can't not report it because the IRS is reporting it for you.
Maybe she just needs to lose more, you know, that's to make up for the difference.
That's the problem. You can only deduct up to 90% of your wins. So you could lose $1 million.
Okay. But it's based on the wins only.
It's based on the wins. So if you win 10,000, that's being reported. And now you can't deduct. You can only deduct 90% of the 10,000. So now you're paying tax on the 1,000. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But you've lost $1 million this year, Jill.
That's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad.
It's another thing to be angry about. Government about, don't you think?
We certainly have a lot to be. I don't know this Idaho guy, the senator who slipped it in, what his goal was. Maybe he is using it as like a sin tax. I don't know the situation because I'm not in this situation, but you hear a talk of, what is it, unearned income or whatever. Like, essentially, I don't know if it's current or existing or they talk about it all the time. I hear people talk about it all the time where, like, they go, hey, such and such individual owns
unrealized gains.
Yeah. The stock price went up,
but you didn't get the money out. You didn't sell the stock, and they want to tax you on.
But we want to tax you anyway because your stock went up 100,000 this year. We want to tax you, even though if you don't withdraw it, and then next year or tomorrow it could just bottom out and you go to zero.
Yes,
but you already took the tax out.
Because, yeah, that's one of the another thing I don't like about government when they start talking about that.
I don't know if that's a thing in place or not.
I don't think it's a conversation that pops up from time to time. I don't think there's anybody doing that now.
It is exactly what they're doing now with gambling.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, I don't care if you lost $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting taxed on 10% of
whatever
you
won. Win was.
Yeah, whatever the win is. We're not going to allow you to deduct it. I don't know. They'll pass another thing.
You think it's going to wash away?
I don't know where that was the owner from Circa that was talking.
Yes.
And he's pulling these numbers out of his rear end where he's going to lose 20-40% of his business. I'm sure that's just made up, but
I don't know. He's got professionals that go there. It's not
right.
Just
he doesn't want any barriers between him and gamblers. And this is a barrier because now you got to think about it. Like, dang, I could, no matter how much I lose, I'm still paying 10%, and the casinos are reporting me, so it's not like I can hide it.
Yeah, it's very strange.
Go ahead.
No, I think it's very strange that they just chose that 90%. And let me ask you this. Do you think most professional gamblers were doing a really good job at reporting anyway? And maybe there was like nobody making any money at professional gambling because I know a couple of the articles that I read, they were like deducting expenses like for business expenses, a hotel, the rental car, the lodging, all that kind of stuff. So maybe whatever in this guy's state, he just felt like people were getting by or something. I don't know.
Well,
what was his axe to grind on that one?
Right. That's why I say I don't think this affects the professional gambler because I think they have some wiggle room. Some of it's reported. They win at the WSOP. There are certain standards. It's getting reported. But these guys are playing cash games and local tournaments. They're not. So, yes, they can go, wink, I made, as a professional gambler this year, a good medium salary for America. I made $100,000 this year. And here's the evidence that I made. And I'll pay taxes on $100,000. Meanwhile, they're playing cash games and tournaments and not reporting any of that. And they're putting an extra $50,000 in their pocket so they can handle that tax bill that they told the IRS.
Right, right.
So that's why I'm saying there has some wiggle room. But the small player, the medium income person who's not itemizing, they're not a professional, but the casinos are reporting every time they only win $1,200.
It's like a lightning strike moment, right? It's like when the hand pays come around.
It's not lightning. It happens all the time. If you sit in a casino, you'll see them every 5 to 10 minutes. People are getting
really
the little.
Okay, I've only seen action like that maybe once or twice in my life. But
12, and so there's talks all the time that they want to raise that because that $1,200 limit is set so long ago.
It doesn't mean
it's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, it's too low.
And nowadays it doesn't mean anything. Like $1,200 with inflation was your people's car bills, and that's crazy, but people's car bills or their monthly grocery budget or whatever, it's not that big a deal. So they've been talking about raising it to 5,000 or whatever. Because you go into a high limit room, those guys are playing $100, $1,000 bets. And I see it all the time. They will win on one machine. It's waiting for hand pay. They'll just start playing the next machine. They'll win on that. They'll go back to that. Yes, overall, they're losing, but they're constantly winning at least $1,200, $1,500, $2,000. And it's being reported.
So you think that's happening a lot more?
Oh, yeah. It happens. Yeah.
Okay.
It happens.
So
and I think it's hurting the small person.
And more so on the slot machines.
Naomi says we get tons of W-2Gs turned in to us every year. Yeah, you have to because you can't hide your W-2Gs. It went to the IRS.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it hurts the small slot players. Because remember, professional gamblers aren't playing slots.
No.
Maybe for fun. So they're poker players.
Their game's a skill. Yeah.
Set.
Blackjack?
Yeah, they used to. Not so much anymore. There might be a couple still out there, but the rules and the automatic shufflers get rid of blackjack gamblers. So poker and sports bettors.
And the sports bettors, just to be clear, it had to be a 300-to-1 payout or bet. So we're talking about some kind of multiple
play. It's the same as us.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same as us as table game players. So it's a rare situation.
Mm-hmm.
But it does happen for them more than it does for us craps players, which is zero.
Zero.
And then roulette and blackjack, it's happening zero times. Nowadays, they've added these progressives. Hey, make a little side bet. And every once in a while, you'll see in the news, oh, wow, someone won $200,000 off their $5 side bet. Yes, you better believe those met the criteria of winning 300-to-1, and so therefore they got reported.
So no matter what we bought in with at the craps table,
yeah,
no matter how much we color up, when we go to the cash cage, we're not getting a W-2G ever.
No, never. Now, they do have, I forget the name of the form, they do have, it's usually, casinos can do it lower, but at $10,000, they're required to report that a large transaction has taken place.
Okay.
I forget, I should have searched up the name for that, but essentially, what they're doing is trying to prevent money laundering.
Okay.
So, it's reported, but it's not as reported as income to the IRS, if that makes sense. They're just like making them aware, hey, there's transactions taking place of 10,000 or more, just so money laundering. And so they keep an eye on this guy type of situation. But yeah, you buy in for 2,000, you color up for 1,000, or you color up for 5,000, it doesn't matter. Just because they know you're only going up and down a little bit. You're not hitting the lottery and getting rich. You're not going with 5,000 and walking out with 100,000,
okay,
at a craps table. Unless you hit that 3-hour roll and you were a super presser and you hit the ATS it's not really hitting the jackpot. And yeah, and because there's no 300-to-1 odds bets, we just don't get. But like I said earlier, you're supposed to
report all earnings, right?
Report if you only. So that's the thing. Like I won $6,000 this year. Cool. But I lost $7,000. You just send that off. In previous times, it would have been, okay, your tax bill is none. You lost money this year. But now, no matter what you lost, 10% of whatever you won, I'm doing that in air quotes for those who are just listening.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you won is now going to be 10% of that's going to be taxed. So
okay,
it's bullcrap, Jim.
Yeah,
it's bullcrap.
Yeah, I don't like getting.
Even though you say it's a nothing burger.
I think it's a nothing burger, but for the most part. But I think it will get changed. But the professionals, I don't think. I think grandma maybe. It's like the old thing about somebody winning a lottery. I had people say, oh, I'd love to win the lottery. I'd love to pay taxes on $100 million or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think people feel the same way about winning
a big
jackpot?
No, because you actually won the money. Okay, if I won $1 million, I understand the government's taking 40%. Guess what? I net out $600,000. I net out 60%. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about, okay, you lost the lottery.
Right.
For $1 million, and one of your tickets won $500,000. So you personally, out of your pockets, you've net lost $500,000. But we're still going to tax you on 10% of that win. So even though you lost this year, we're still going to tax you on it. It's completely different.
Yeah, okay. To me, there are like separate events, though. Like when you win, when you lose, but I guess it's the entirety of the year.
Yeah, all I know is at the from January 1st to December 31st, I lost $1 million this year. Why are you going to tax me? What are you taxing me on? It's the, would you say unrealized gains or whatever? Mm-hmm. You're taxing me on unrealized gains. Because I won February 2nd, you want a piece of that? Even though I lost?
Yeah. Come on. Okay.
I guess.
Do you just talk about it in general? Do you think should people pay taxes on winnings in the casino in general?
We're in a nation that taxes earnings. Yeah. So I would say yes, you should be taxed on winnings.
And do you think everybody should be taxed the same rate?
You're getting to, is a flat tax good idea?
I'm just
percentage
asking.
Wise, proportionally, I don't know. It seems like a good idea, but I haven't studied that enough.
Okay.
But yes.
If I go in there and I pull the slot machine and I win $100,000, mm-hmm. and then Joe Blow, who happens to be a businessman worth millions of dollars, he goes in on his vacation, he pulls and gets the same thing. Should we pay the same rate? I would say, yeah, we should.
Yeah.
We're doing the same thing.
That's not the question, though.
No.
The question is, because how it's set up is we pay taxes on a per year basis.
Right.
So just take gambling out of it. Let's say you run a business.
Okay.
Jim sells dice.
Yes.
In February, you sold a bunch of dice and made, what number did you use before? You made $100,000 in February.
Let's do it. $100,000.
You made $100,000 in February. They tax you.
Yes.
Right in February, they go, okay. They don't, but
they do a sales tax.
We want 20%
for the consumer.
Well, yeah, the consumer.
And you pay taxes ahead of time on all your stuff, too.
Estimated taxes. But let's say, you 20% of that $100,000 is your theoretical tax. So in February, you made $100,000 profit with your business. The next 10 months, no one bought dice from you.
Okay.
You have to keep buying supplies.
Paying employees, insurance,
paying employees.
The light bill.
You something burnt down. You had to replace a warehouse. You lost $2 million.
Operating the business.
Operating costs.
Yeah.
Your business should be taxed on the $100,000 you made in February? Or should they look at the year in whole where you lost $2 million minus the $100,000?
I'll get you on that, but is there a difference in operating a business and gambling? One's a recreational activity,
No, if you're saying it's cool to do that same scenario because it's done as a thing of pleasure, I guess that's your...
I don't know. I'm just trying to figure it all out. Like I said, I think it's going to be a...
It's money out of your pocket. Dang it, your wife's not going to be too happy. Honey, I lost $100,000 this year, and the tax wants to take more. They want to tax me because I won back in February.
Mm-hmm.
So not only did I lose $100,000 this year, honey... Now we're going to pay more in taxes because I happened to win. I had a good month in February.
Okay.
Yeah, I know we can't pay the rent or retire this year because I lost $100,000, but because it was pleasure, it's cool. It's cool. I got taxed in February.
Yeah, I don't know. I like it.
You're taking a stance on both sides.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I'm just trying to get a little discussion going there a little bit.
No, I love the discussion. We should probably open up to people, right?
Yeah. And don't forget, we got a number, right? You got your phone with
Where's
you?
Where's my phone?
Oh, come on.
Really make this
this is going to be crazy. This would be good. This would be one, if anybody had an opinion, this would be where they'd want to share.
All right, let's see.
Of course, I got my monitor way in front of my thing.
Can you pull up the number?
I can read it.
Roadcaster.
number 678. And I'll pull it up on the screen in a little bit, I hope.
Yeah, go ahead and pull it up.
Let's see. How do I pull it up?
Here, I can do it. Let's see. Banners.
It's under banners.
Show the number. There you
go. There you go. So our number again is 678, the number 7-2-3-11-12. And you can call in and give your thoughts on whether you think this is a nothing burger or if you think this is going to majorly affect 40% of the business at Circa. And if it's 40% of the online betting at Circa, the big pros, Las Vegas is going down.
He said they would move to.
Yeah, they're going to go offshore. So 40%.
You know why? Because they don't report and they're illegal.
Well,
and
what
they're not playing it by the books.
Yeah, but they're not also not reporting. They're not taxing these people.
Ricky says, just refuse to use your player's card. Again, a table game is not an issue. You might as well use it because you're going to get comps. At a slot machine, you cannot use your player's card. But if you win $1,200, they're coming up to you and you have to fill out your information. Because they're going to send it to the IRS. I guess you could. I don't know what the legality is. I guess you could write in someone else's name and write a fake Social Security number and cross your fingers. They usually check your ID as well.
Yeah, when I've gotten.
Or else they won't pay you.
Yeah, when I've gotten money out of the cash, I know cash is different. Cash cage is different. But when I've gotten several thousand dollars from the cash cage, they've asked me for my ID.
Yeah, usually if it's casinos. Several thousand, again, that goes to that large transaction thing. Mm-hmm. At minimum, at 10,000, they have to report everybody who's doing those transactions. Some casinos, they'll do it at 1,000, 2,000, 5,000, whatever. So they can do whatever they want and get your information.
Okay.
But again, that's not reported as earnings unless it's a W-2G.
Okay. Well. Once again,
that was a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot. So once
either way, I think it will. There, because listen, especially the Nevada people, they're going to get passed through that. Hey, we don't want this to happen.
They'll
but just
deals.
The fact that they're trying to tax us on essentially, like you said in the video, phantom win. If you've lost money for the year, how are they going to charge you taxes on winnings? But you're for it. It sounds like
it's for fun,
and you won in February. Tax that guy in February.
Truth be,
I'm putting words in your mouth.
Truth
I know.
Be known, I'm looking into the camera. I'm against all taxes. Yeah. No, even a very basic minimum. Don't forget, our country started off losing their minds.
A revolution about taxes
and everything. So I'm a very low tax kind of person. I know we need certain things and all, but police, fire, military, that kind of thing, common good stuff, maybe like schools, that business. But other than that, I think low taxes are good, roads, whatever. But we got a lot of tax money going out for other stuff.
We got a call, Jim.
Oh, here we go.
Let's see. Caller, you're on the air. Who do we have with us? Don't listen to YouTube, listen to the phone. Who do we have on the air with us?
Hey, this is Brian, Holy Roller.
Hey, Brian.
You called to weigh in on this tax thing?
I was trying not to. I didn't want to be the guy that calls in every week.
If no one else is calling in, we appreciate the call. Brian, how many W-2Gs are you receiving on the craps cruises you're going on?
A zero.
Okay.
Unless Amber does a slot, like she wins on slots.
Okay, but it does happen. Jim thinks it's lightning in a bottle, but it's not that infrequent. It's not that big a deal.
No, we do it all. Sometimes we do slot pools where we all pitch in and we put all our money together. And I would say every other time we get a hand pay.
So that's usually when you're doing bigger bets, $10, $25 bets or something like that, I'm guessing?
Yeah, we usually have people all pitch in, and we designate one person that's going to get that's going to pay the taxes.
Isn't that nice?
Wow.
Okay, so you never, but, as a craps player,
sometimes we're with people from, we have people from Canada or the UK or whatever, and we always, they're the ones that get the hand pay, if you know what I'm saying.
No, because I don't know international law, so I don't know a American W-2G doesn't
they
apply
don't have to
them.
They don't have to pay taxes. Yeah, they don't have to pay taxes. So whenever we have a slot pool, if there's somebody from out of the country, then we have them get the hand pay.
Very interesting. So I'm not going
because
to. I'm not going to.
On whose card we're using.
Yeah, I'm not going to ask you and out you how much you report or self-report from your craps winnings. But that is fascinating.
Yeah, and I think this is why I think it's a nothing burger. I don't think it's gonna. Something's gonna happen before it comes into law.
It's in law now, and it comes into effect January 1st. But, yeah, I think a new law will be in place to override it. Yeah,
I think something's going to change before because, yeah, the way you always – if you actually record everything, you're probably going to show a loss at these casino games. So even if you do have a win, it's nice to have that offset. You can only deduct losses based on – that offset your win.
But now you can't offset all your wins. You can only offset 90%.
This is a joke. I don't know. It seems like that sin tax that you guys were talking about.
Yeah.
But when it comes to taxes, and this is why I called in, because I think that the IRS code, actually, if you read it, this might be a weird way to say it, but I'll say it's like they punish people that don't have businesses.
Yeah.
So everybody should have a business, like create a business, have a business. And that's why I called in just to say, hey, if you don't have a business, start a business so that you can itemize. So everybody should itemize, in my opinion. And I'm not a tax professional or
you don't play one on TV.
Consult your own tax professional.
But it is true. If you you work for a corporation 9 to 5, you're middle class, they're taking 22 to 24% of your income. But yeah, as a business owner, even a side business, that's the thing about it. The business could lose money. And that's not necessarily a bad thing because it will deduct off your tax bill. So yeah,
off of what you make at your quote unquote regular job, your business losses or business costs
will offset
deducted based on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so that's why I always tell people, if you find somebody to help you start a business, even if you don't know what the business is, find somebody that will help you start. It's not about all the time making money. It's about the deductions and itemizing. And like I said, I'm not a professional. I just wanted to share that.
Well, that's good information, though.
Good stuff.
Thanks for the call.
That was nice.
Just about half the times he's winning hand pays. It's not that uncommon.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Especially if you're making
those.
He said
half the times, but did you see even Brian, and again, individual results may vary, but even Brian was saying, hey, look, if somebody wins, it's going to be somebody from Canada or somebody else.
They pick and say, that guy won, because they're doing these group pools. If you don't know what a group pool is, they pool players. So let's get 10 people, because, okay, so the best way to win on these things is bet the higher $8, $10 bets, right? You as an individual, if you have $100, $10 bet, that's 10 spends. Your chances are slim to none. But if you get 10 people to chip in $100, now you're at 1,000 with 10 spends, $10 spends. Now you could do 100 spends. You've increasing your chances of hitting, right?
The longer you're in the game. In theory,
right? Mm-hmm. That's why people do these slot pools. They pull their money together to make bigger bets, which you couldn't afford on your own. So it gives you more spends at a bigger bet, and then you would divide it up. But yeah, you bet bigger, you win, and then next thing you know, you end up with a
tax
W-2G.
Bill.
And now I was unaware of that international don't tax gambling.
I don't know.
Can they just rip up their W-2G
casinos? Yeah, where does the United States government send it?
Yeah, and they just go, I guess they're okay.
Maybe.
I guess it makes sense because they're not from America. How can you? Unless they're crossing, I don't know. There's a lot there.
Mm-hmm.
Next time they visit, they have to pay. I don't know how any of that works, but that's what he's saying. So,
What do you think the professional gamblers are? What do you think their tax rate is? The guys who win the WSOP and stuff. Do you think they're
Someone mentioned it here. Your tax is an individual, so they're probably playing as an LLC or some sort of sole proprietor.
It's a
business now, right? They're Daniel Negrano LLC now.
Okay.
And so he's deducting all of his food, all of his travel costs, his hotel, his buy-ins, his study, all that is deductions on his business. And so that's why I'm saying there's wiggle room, and that's why this wouldn't affect him that much. So he goes, won $2.6 million, but I've had a lot of business expenses, and as a professional gambler, I need to report some income. Therefore, on paper, yes, they reported my $1.2 million win, but unreported is another million in my pocket. So I can wink, say I only won. Not that they're doing this. Maybe they're completely honest and reporting everything, like all of us other gamblers. Yeah. But that's why I'm saying they have a little bit of wiggle room, I think, because a lot of their income is not trackable or traceable or whatever.
Yeah.
So I guess a comparison would be like waiters or whatever, or service industry who get a lot of cash tips.
Well, supposedly now in that same bill, no cash on tips, right? Or no tax on tips.
To a certain amount. So that's a good thing. But before, they'd have to worry about it. So it'd be like $10 goes towards my income that is taxable, and $10 just goes right in my pocket. Should report all 20, but that's what people do, and that's just life.
Okay. Now, I've been keeping an eye on the chat, and everybody, a lot of people were agreeing with the having the Anthony, Bob, Wary Buyer Ken, and Ricky, that we should all have some kind of LLC or some type of business to go ahead and try to itemize up. Now, do you think maybe next year before DiceCon, we should, in each individual should establish their own LLC gambling ventures or?
That's, I'm pretty sure you can't do a business and then deduct all your gambling losses because gambling is recreational.
Okay.
Again, not a tax attorney.
Don't play one on TV.
Yeah, they're pretty sure you're not going to be able to go, that was a business expense. Now, even for me, my business is gambling.
Your business is not gambling.
No, correct. But I have to gamble in order to sustain my business.
You have to do what now?
I have to gamble in order to operate as a business. If I never gamble, I could just play on my play table here.
Right.
But a lot of it is playing in a real casino or filming it or reporting back what I win. Okay.
Okay.
What I'm saying is I am an LLC.
Okay.
Color Up Club LLC.
All right.
I divide the line between, okay, I deduct a lot of stuff as a business expense when I buy merch. When I go, every time I go to the casino, the gas, the mileage, when I fly, every hotel when I go to Vegas, I live here now, but every hotel, you better believe that is a business expense for me. Where I draw the line, though, is because it's a little gray because I'm not a professional gambler. I'm technically a YouTube content creator, is when I'm gambling. So I think there might be a way for me to say, hey, every time I withdrew cash to went to play, that is technically a business expense, but I don't do that because I'm not. It's a little gray. Does that make sense?
A little gray. I got you.
It's a little gray. So for someone to say, oh, just start a business and now all that stuff, all that gambling could be included in your business. No, not that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is your business. You can deduct a lot more things to overcome your overall tax bill. It's not that you can now start deducting your gambling wins and losses.
Okay, yeah. And Bob and your sister both agree that there's a lot of things that go into play to set up an LLC. So shouldn't be done lightly with that. Yeah. Let's see here.
Yeah, Holy Roller does the same thing. He keeps his bankrolls as separate accounts outside of the business. Yeah, if you got audited, to pull that off, it's one thing to be a professional poker player and say, hey, listen, I have to buy the tournament entries and I have to spend $5,000 for every cash game that I log into to create my income. That's one thing. But to just say, hey, I lost in gambling and it's part of my business, that would be sweet for me.
Yeah.
Because I would be picking up a lot of extra deductions because of all the gambling losses I did this past year. But that's a little tricky.
Yeah. Again, for most people who are listening and watching this channel, probably what percentage of them do you think this is?
We're mostly craps fans, right? We're a craps dominant channel.
Right.
That's what Color Up's all about. And so this is zero factor because you're never, ever getting a W-2G.
Unless.
It's funny Brian mentioned my wife, Amber, right? Because a lot of spouses, or maybe you dabble in slots every once in a while, yeah, you're going to end up with a W-2G. And bottom line is, unless you're itemizing, you're paying tax on that sucker. Unless you keep track. But then even if you keep track, now you're only doing 90%. I don't know. It's just a little, it's a great topic, but it's just a little gut punch from the government who loves us so much. And is, while they waste tons of money, they're figuring out ways to like just jab all of us. And like I said, the professional gambler, I don't think it's that big a deal because they're juggling a lot. They're moving money around a little differently. But that grandma who wins once a month, $2,000 hand pay, she's getting shafted.
What about if you take this example to Wheel of Fortune?
Okay.
You win nothing, and then you win $6,000 in the third round, and then you win nothing, and you don't make it to the bonus round. Are they paying? I guess there's no – yeah, there's no buy-in.
There's no losses.
Yeah, there's no buy-in on it. Never mind.
Yeah, there's no buy-in. Yeah, you got to – yeah.
You got to have some skin in the game.
Yeah, that's the whole yeah. – that's why it's different. That's why it's different than the, hey, you won the lottery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it sucks. I don't think 40%, that sucks. But, hey, you're still net up 60. This is not that situation we're talking about. You are net down as a gambler.
Yeah.
Unless you're one of the few skilled gamblers in poker or sports betting, whatever. The 99% of us gamblers are down, but now they still want to tax us.
Yeah. When lightning does strike, if you take your last $10 after being on the craps table for 200 and you take your last 10 and you put it in a slot machine and lightning strikes, we get you on there.
Yeah. They're going to send you. Yeah. You now get a tax bill.
Yeah.
Because you. Yeah. it's crazy. Whatever. Yeah, it is crazy.
It really is. And I see we've got some other people jumping in. Normally, we'd have all the comments during the monster roll section, but we've been taking them as we go. But David Say was jumping in there saying, being very careful on taking tax advice online. To be considered a professional gambler by the IRS, you must be pursuing gambling activities full-time in good faith, etc., that kind of thing.
It's not even though I gamble a lot or whatever, it's not – once you write down, hey, I'm a professional gambler, now you're tracking your expense. That's why, like in my video that I made, that there are no craps professionals, because I get comments on, I won $50,000 this year. Okay. Did you report it? After deductions, is it still 50, or after your expenses, did you still win $50,000? And did you pay taxes on it? If you didn't do those things, you're not a professional gambler. You're someone who had a good year and did a little side cash gig. Awesome on you for winning 50 grand this year, but you're not a professional. You're not even close.
Yeah.
For one, nowadays, $50,000 is not going. Yeah. It's not a livelihood. Very so much. You need to win 100, then have all your expenses. And then you got to tell the IRS, hey, I'm a professional. I won 100.
Yeah, pay taxes on that.
Yeah, and pay taxes on it. Yeah. Otherwise, it's a hobby and you're just,
Yeah. Yeah.
They're interestingly enough, this was topical. There's a guy who approached me asking about, he gives tax advice or whatever. He's like a tax professional about gambling and was asking questions about sponsoring my channel. I don't know. Maybe I'll talk to him. But again, my audience, it's really not.
It's a nothing burger for your audience.
It's a nothing burger.
Yeah.
It is because all of us are daggone lying cheaters who never report, who never self-report, Jim. But I know it's not much, Jim, but I know you gambled $5,000 this year.
Yeah. That's true.
You should tell the government. You should tell the IRS about that.
Tell the IRS.
Not that you don't.
No,
we're not going to talk
about
that. Hypothetically.
But it's funny, like you don't have to report if you lose, but the moment you win a little bit back,
now you have to prove.
Now you
got to
report.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. What a great country.
Yeah.
And I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that's the rules we live under.
Buddy Gary's checking in. Hey, Gary, only a government could devise a scheme like this. Maybe they're going to use the taxes to pay down the net. Of course they are. Of course.
Yeah, when the bottom line is your 10% of 100,000 is 10,000. So that's what you could be taxed on. And then your tax rate is staggered up, but let's say you hit in a 20%, so your tax bill is 2,000. right? For a player who won $100,000
for the year. Yeah.
So that's where the nothing burger comes in. Yeah. Yes, you won $100,000. Maybe who cares how much you lost? You won $100,000. They tax on $10,000. Mm-hmm. Your tax bill's two ish. That's not paying off nothing.
Right? Yeah.
Even if every person in America sent in $2,000, we're not touching our national debt. As recently was evidenced by some of the, what was that, Doge or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, cutting through some of those folks. Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't make a dent. They made some cuts, but like overall.
It was several billion dollars, but yeah, we need trillions. Yeah,
we need trillions.
But hey, yeah, any step, it's like an old Navy chief came to our school one day, was giving the kids a pep talk. And when the kids asked him about something, he says, you know what? I call it a kick in the ass, a step in the right direction. I think that's a kind of a kick in the ass. In the
I'm
right
all
direction.
For you. We can cut costs. Let's do it. But I'm curious why this person did this, like what the axe of grind or what is it a syntax or trying?
I don't know what the purpose of it was.
You're not gaining hardly anything out of this.
Yeah, no
yeah,
money.
This nothing burger doesn't, you're squeezing. An empty lemonade or whatever, an empty lemon. Like, it's not.
This one was funny. Duracell, our buddy, who's in all kinds of craps communities, and you'll see him on a number of different programs, is they need an Augusta Rule gambling. 14 days a year you can gamble and win for free. No taxes there. So
is that to do with the Augusta golf thing?
I don't know. I don't remember Augusta. I don't know. Maybe that was like a August thing. Maybe it's like a tax-free thing. I know in Virginia they have a weekend where you can buy school supplies. And
you don't have to pay any taxes. Tax-free weeks or whatever.
Yeah,
right?
Something like that. But it's just crazy that this is the thing that jumped up out of all the gazillion pages of that bill, and somebody slipped this thing. So
yeah. Yeah, Duracell, he asks, only gambling losses can offset gambling wins. That's correct. Yeah. And you can't offset more. You can't say, hey, I had a loss this year, and so I want to deduct it off my personal. That's not how that works.
No.
So you can currently only deduct up to 100%. Mm-hmm. But now, this new rule in place, you can only deduct up to 90%. So it's just a little.
Oh, got some clarification from our buddy Duracell. He's coming in. So the Augusta rule is how Airbnb got started. You rent your home for 14 days a year and not report. There we go. So thank you for the clarification on that on there. Don't forget, if you got an opinion like Brian and a belly button, you can jump right to the front of the line because there is no line. Call us at 678-723-1112. But yeah, that's, you know, when people start talking money, people start.
Yeah, it gets people's attention, even though you're probably more accurate that it is more of a nothing burger than it is something. For one, I think they'll pass a new rule to override this. And for two, the thing I don't like about it is I don't think it affects the pro gambler,
according to Derek, he's thinking 20 to 40% of his big business is big people.
Because these grandmas play. They come in and play $10,000 all the time.
So you really think there's this army of senior citizen grandmas who are just
Jim? Yes, that's
up.
Who.
Okay,
they call these slot zombies. That why is the casino full of slots and not
craps tables?
Craps tables.
Okay.
The rake is huge, and it's
90%
predominantly women.
Not, 10%.
The demographic 50%. Is women. Yeah. It's older who can afford to lose money.
Yep.
It's retired grandmas.
Okay.
That's who this is picking on.
But every time I get something, every piece of marketing shows some hot chicks.
Sexy guy. And they're rolling dice.
And they're rolling
right?
dice. Most of the ones I get are rolling dice. Or if they're around the slot machine, they're pulling a...
Yeah, but rarely is it slot machine. It's usually rolling dice. They're so much fun. But yet when you go to the casino, you've seen those videos where people are going, they're like drooling, like hitting the thing over and over again. It's just like
zombie.
$1, $2, $5, over and over.
And you win, spend for $1, you win 30 cents. It's just crazy that.
And one out of 100 people wins the hand pay or whatever.
Now, you were with me at DiceCon when I actually played slots at two different casinos.
Yeah.
And you saw my success and with it, and it's just I've never won anything ever with slots. It's been in the pennies, if that. Yeah,
you just got to play more.
Yeah,
You got to play more and bigger.
Okay.
I venture to say you've probably never put $2,000 through a machine.
Scary
to me.
No, I would never do that.
Yeah, but people do it, and I can compare it to when you go to the craps table. We talk about bankroll and being underfunded.
Mm-hmm.
You go to a $25 table with $200, your chance of winning is slim to none.
Very low.
You just cannot afford the volatility.
Right.
So how you've been talking, I don't know that you've even ever put a $100 bill into a slot machine.
No.
But okay. So there you go. So if you've put in $20 bill a handful of times, it's the same as being under bankrolled. Like the chance of winning is so slim.
Okay.
That is certainly lightning in a bottle. But if you were to put in $2,000 and run it through, the more money you put in, yes, 15 to 20% is a big house edge.
Yes.
But they should be paying back 80 to 90%.
Okay.
If you run your money through.
Okay.
If you put in 20 bucks, you got no chance to win. It's the same as at a craps table. You come to a $25 table with 100 bucks, you got no chance to win. Okay. Now, if you come with 5,000, yeah,
you can
withstand
around
the up and downs. Mm-hmm. You're playing your come bets. The house edge is only 1%. You got a good shot.
Never putting that kind of money in a machine.
I agree with you.
Never.
Yeah.
And let me ask you this. Why does it have to be that way? Why can't, if it truly is random, you would think it...
Because it is. It truly is. So, yeah, one guy could be putting in $100 spins.
All night.
And then one lady can walk up, minimum bet,
mm-hmm.
88 cent, and puts her $20 in. Oh, my God, I just won $10,000.
Yes.
It happens.
Okay.
And if you hang around in the casino, you see it.
Maybe that's my problem.
Because it is
chance. I don't hang around in casinos enough.
That's probably a good thing.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, I get to hang around with my brother because he's a slot machine player, and you get to see it a lot. Just how it, and that's how it plays out. So yeah, it certainly doesn't guarantee you, but it keeps you in the game if you have the bankroll and that you're running more money through.
Okay.
But yeah, it is so random that some lady who just puts in her first buck and all of a sudden it goes off.
So Brian's formula, the slot formula, is max bet times 100 mm-hmm. spins. So if you're doing a dollar spin, you got to put in at least what?
Okay, bucks. Max. Okay. It depends. So all the machines are different, but this real standard machine, minimum bet's 88 cents.
Okay.
Maximum bet is $8.80.
So 880, 900 bucks.
Yeah.
No way. Yeah. No,
get through the volatility.
And you can get to the higher bonuses or what, right. The jackpots.
The payback percentages are higher and all that kind of stuff. Then you go to, there are machines that pay, you go to some machines, you go to a high limit room and you could be doing 500 to 1,000 as max bet. It's fascinating to watch. They don't keep you out. You can go in there and watch someone.
I've walked through a couple of times on a couple of places. I did see what you were talking about where a guy was playing on three poker machines and he was getting a hand pay on one. He was waiting for the lady to come. He got a hand pay on the other. I did see that on the high ones there, but hadn't seen a lot. Yeah. Let's see what else. Tom, our good buddy Tom, checking in, said the Gov promotes a voluntary tax that those that can least afford it. Yeah, some people say just having a casino is a tax on the poor and stupid.
I say that about like lottery.
I say that about a lot of stuff.
The stats bear it out, right? If there's,
although rich people go to the casino too, and they can lose just as easy. Yeah, entertainment.
Yeah, and they can lose just month. But we're talking about volatility a lot of times. Yeah. It seems like a lot, but $10,000 maybe to them isn't nothing. But the problem is so many poor to middle class people, like $10,000 is your rent or mortgage for a couple months. And if that goes up in flames, that's a big ouchie. And they're trying to hope for magic and be blessed and hope that they can get rich quick and easy. And it's almost never the case.
There is no quick and easy and rich and all that good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, and then if it does by chance happen, and you hear all the horror stories of people who win the lottery. They just don't know how to handle it.
Yeah,
so.
And it's one and done usually because
Ricky says he got what do you think? With the double whammy, double whammy.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
I'm not laughing at you, but
no, that's pretty funny, Ricky. Yeah, poor, guilty, poor and stupid.
Yeah, a lot of us are dumb and poor.
That's what my buddy used to say. A tax was on the, my buddy Steve used to say, lottery's a tax on the poor and stupid. I said, guilty. I'm right here, bud. Talking
give
to
him. Give
him
a shot.
Yeah. That's great, Ricky.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of the best stuff comes from the audience, as we know.
And so this is why we play craps, because it's better. It's close to a 50-50 chance type game as opposed to slots where it's like an 80-20
mm-hmm.
or like the lottery where it's like a
never yeah.
what 10 million yeah, to one type yeah. situation. First world problem. Yeah, a lot of third world problem have gambling problems.
Yeah,
it's very fascinating. I used to go to Haiti a lot.
Why'd you go to Haiti? Mission trips or something? What'd you do?
Yeah, did work for orphanages and did all kinds of stuff. So I've probably been down there at least a dozen or so times, but they have these little gambling booths. These people have nothing, like one of the poorest nations in the world. And sure enough, there are little ways that they gamble. It's sick. It's sad. I don't know.
Yeah, Haiti's another one right now where it's just for years has been just this big mess. And never been able to really work. And it's funny, isn't Haiti the one that's on one side of the island? It's Haiti.
It's the Dominican
Republic. Yeah, and Española yeah. is the whole island. But one side of the island's pretty prosperous compared to the other side. And it's just it's just the weirdest thing on the same island and just two different outcomes. And it's been that way for hundreds of years.
My I have a brother. I don't know why we're talking about this. My brother-in-law is Dominican. He married my sister, and we always call him Haitian as a dig because they're from the other side of the island. So it's like an insult to the Dominican that you'd be considered Haitian or vice versa. Yeah, but yeah, it is wide. Just imaginary line right through the island, and just it's such a different situation, but.
Oh,
gambling can be a problem for
this one here because it always brings me back to the math, and I love the math. House edge on the pass line, you're right, is 1.41, but the house edge in the lottery is 50%. So I guess they got to return half the winnings back or half the money back, and they keep half of it. But yeah, that's very true.
Yeah, you could probably verify that with the Google thing, but yeah, that probably sounds about right.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure.
Because it's for the benefit of the state. Yeah. Again, that's why it's another tax, right?
It's another
tax. For the benefit. We're going to collect $1 billion.
Whatever the number is, it's always half coming back.
We're only going to give that half. Yeah. And then we're paying it over annuity for 20 years. And then the whole...
Yeah, if you do it that way.
If you and die, then, and then they're inheritance tax and blah, 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 blah. We could go on and on, Jim, how they just get us.
Yeah, no, but it's true, though. We've all paid taxes to spend that money we pay taxes to get the money, whether it's through work or whatever, or from gambling. And then if you decide to spend it and you're doing it, you got some more, we're going to tax it again. It's just taxes.
Oh, my God.
The cell phone, the internet, everything.
Rick says, I like crafts because it's not up to an algorithm.
Uh-huh.
Agreed. Plus, social aspects, completely addictive. Never seen anyone having fun or a great time at a slot machine unless they're hitting. Yeah, it's like you can have kind of fun. We were doing it and the cruise. There were sessions we were all down, but we were still having fun.
We had a really good time, and then there were sessions we brought us back a little bit, or maybe colored up a little bit, and it was a lot of fun. So I agree with you on that.
Yeah, machine, I don't know. Maybe there's someone.
Wait a minute. Al brings up a good point. Thank you, Al. He says, the problem is there's no one standing up or lobbying for gamblers. The legislature just wants to find tax dollars. Jeremy. This could be your moment to step up.
I'm not about to
become a lobbyist for gambling. No, this is not your thing.
There are lobbyists for gambling.
Yeah, sure. And most of them are for the casinos, right? They're not for the gamblers.
Exactly. So, for instance, I have a new sponsor, stake.us. You can go to my website, colorup.club, find out more information. But it's not allowed in the state of Nevada because the lobbyist for the land-based casinos made sure it's not involved.
Okay.
Lobbyists are hugely involved in gambling. You go to California, they're not allowed to have craps. It has to be based off of cards. Why? Because the lobbyists and the tribal casinos in the state all have, are all back scratching. And that's the concession they make. Okay, no dice. So you can only be a tribe to have gambling institutions, as opposed to just Jim can't get a license.
So it's threatening, it's competition.
Yeah, whatever threatens you, you get a lobbyist and you jerry-rig the, I don't know if that's, I don't know if that's an, that's a bad term, I think. I don't know.
Okay.
You rig the system, right? That's what politicians are famous for.
Right.
They take care of their people, and that's where the lobbyists come in. So, yeah, there are lots of gambling lobbyists, but they're usually not for, I think, maybe you said it, and I'm just going off on a tangent, but they're not for the player.
No, they're right? definitely, I did say that, but they're not, yeah, they're for the protecting the institutions of it.
Yeah, exactly. They're not looking, they're not, the players aren't in the best interest. And in some places, they say, okay, Atlantic City, I know, is a situation where they said, hey, the big 6 and 8, for the player's protection, we will not allow that bet because it's such a bad bet when you could just make a bet on the place 6 and 8.
Right.
So I guess that is a situation where they looked out for the player's interest. I don't know. It's a rare instance, but yeah.
Let's see. And here's another one here. Alex says, thanks for bringing this. Looks like Jim does not understand how this hurts a small player. I do. Hey, I'm still trying to figure it out.
It's just nibbling and crawling at the small player.
I'm still trying
to
figure out, Al. I'm not against it. I, like I said, I just don't.
Yeah, he's against taxes.
I'm against taxes, so I'd like to see none.
He'd sign up for the next revolution.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
We've had a lot of that experience here in Virginia. But anyway, but yeah, I'm still trying to figure it out. But yeah, I don't. I think it's going to get changed. I still don't see it's not going to affect me because I'm not going to be playing slots. I'm not going to be
doing W2Gs.
I'm not going to be.
But you're self-reporting, Jim. And now you can only.
Every person is, Jeremy.
I know. We're all self-reporters.
We're all self-reporters. Two, I'm not an online sports guy where I'm betting for, what was it, 300 to 1 or something like that.
300 to 1. It's the same as a table game.
Yeah.
So I'm not. That's the threshold.
Yeah. I'm not going to be that guy, Al. So it's not that I don't get it. I just, maybe I don't get it. It's not that I'm trying to figure it out. So it doesn't affect me. Maybe that's why I don't understand on that one. But no, I don't wish anybody. Yeah.
If you got a W2G once a month, you'd be playing a different tune. Because one, it's like at a threshold where, dang, to figure it all out and itemize it to my deductions doesn't make sense. So it's almost, I might as well just pay the tax on these few hand pays because I'm not going to do the standardized deduction. All right, caller, you're on the air. Turn down your YouTube and let us know who you are.
Because I'm not. Gary Pell, the senator from Idaho, called for this because Idaho doesn't even allow gambling. All they have is slots and poker. And so all their casinos put slots and poker lines, rows and rows and rows, where they're making money. Thanks, Jeremy.
Okay, that makes sense. You were cutting in and out, but I think you're saying it was the senator from Idaho because they don't have, like, table games. They just have slots and poker.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Let's see. Let me disconnect and reconnect. That's probably...
Means the time. It was a time.
Yeah,
it's usually been more than
an
hour. Yeah, or something like that.
But I'll turn it back on for a little bit. But yeah, see, there's always some reason that someone slips something into these mega bills, right?
Yeah, it says, question, are you exempt from this tax if you gamble at a Native American casinos? If
no.
No? So if you get a hand pay at Cherokee?
Yeah, they'll give you an American W-2G.
Oh, okay. I guess...
Well, there may be a place that I don't know of.
Maybe if they hand pay you in Native American currency, then you don't have to, right?
Yeah, but they almost all have some sort of pact with the state that they're in. Yeah. Yeah, they have an agreement where they are kicking money back up to the state. And so they abide by these W-2G rules.
Mm-hmm.
That would be nice. That would make them very popular if everything was completely tax-free.
Yeah.
But yeah, not the case.
They would be a lot more popular than the ones that aren't.
Why would you go to... one who collects taxes
or same argument with Derek, maybe
going offshore, exactly. So, I think that's his point, is like
people have choices,
customers who this affect. Yeah, Jim is going to keep coming, but the customers who it does affect, which are those kind of medium gamblers, I mm-hmm. think. Medium by, they're putting $100,000 through a year. Yeah, they're affected, and they, if they can have an option to choose something else where it doesn't affect them, they're going to go to it. So I don't know that we solved anything except for that I need to become a, what do you call it? Not a backer, but a
backer? What are you talking
about? To influence politicians.
A
lobbyist.
A lobbyist, yeah.
Need to
you could be a lobbyist.
What should we lobby for?
I don't know. First thing would be to
get all tables to have the ATS.
Or at the good payout.
Yeah, go back to the good payouts.
Yeah.
The 7.5% house edge instead of the 20% house edge on the typical.
Oh, that'd be great. That would be a good
that
start.
Would be great.
Yeah. Yeah, lobbyist. Bob's right. Yeah. But yeah, we didn't solve anything.
No,
but
we never do on these things.
No. But there was a lot of good discussion, though, I think.
We're just throwing out.
And I feel bad for you guys because, again, if you're getting here late, for whatever reason, it wasn't picking up my phone. And so I'm using the MacBook Pro, and I had everything all changed up tonight, and it was beautiful.
Good setup.
And the setup was great, and the mic wouldn't be recognized. And then Jeremy finally figured it out. And then we could not get the camera. I said, let me use the MacBook Pro thing. So I'm looking up.
It's not bad. It's not terrible.
It's not, but I'm looking at you now, but my camera's down here, which is the whole point of me having my stuff up. But yeah, we'll figure it out and get that going for next week.
It's always a process.
Yeah. But there you
go. All right. Comments have slowed down. No calls. I think we ended here and
put a fork
in it. Anything
else
you want to add about this? Besides, it's a nothing burger.
Yeah.
Which
put a fork in it.
You're probably right. In the end.
Yeah. Might be a
nothing. You're probably right. But it was a fun discussion. It's a great clickbait title, I think.
Yeah. Jumped in.
And that's half the battle, Jim. Make the $1,200 limit comparable to the bet, like the 301 rule. Doesn't make sense if a person is playing $10 or $20 per spin. Yeah. It's been thrown around. I think I've heard $5,000. I've heard $7,500. But yeah, it doesn't make sense. $1,200 limit is the when they issue the W2G. It's just one thing in the 50s, but nowadays it doesn't make any sense.
Hey, and this one here, our buddy Skill and Lux checking in. I did see Vegas Day Tripper and some other people checking in earlier too, but he said, does everyone still want online craps? And there's a lot of places if you want to play online craps, correct?
Yeah, they're out there.
Yeah.
Does everyone want? I don't. Most people go like, nothing compares to
casino.
Excitement, the actual round table. So, yeah. By the way, Skill and Luck, since you're here, tomorrow is, I'm putting out Skill 66. 66 inside strategy is nothing new, but a lot of the community rallied around him, named it after him, the Skill 66, and based a lot of that's going to be my new series, is the 66 strategy. And I'm starting off, and I give a little shout-out to Skill and Luck.
There you go.
Although he's involved in the craps community a lot, but not so much on his channel as much anymore. But the community agrees that he should have some credit for kind of popularizing it at the time. And so I did my best to give him a little shout-out.
There you go. And you got a little thank you from him. So that's good.
Oh, cool. He's still here. I wasn't sure if he was still here.
Yeah. He said earlier, thank you. Yes, sir, and thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you've always done a pretty good job of trying to identify people who specifically either come up with something or at least popularize it, because some people say there's nothing new under the sun.
Yeah,
and there's only so many ways and all. But like you said, some of the people who popularize
it. Yeah, someone popularize it or brings attention to it. Yeah, why not? I try to give credit where it's due. But
absolutely.
Yeah, probably. Most of these things are retreads or variations of if you read the old books.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not covering the three-point Miley, most stuff do we don'ts and ledge and lane numbers against and hedging. It's all been done. Yeah. So we just tweak it a little bit and have fun with it.
And last comment.
A new title to it.
For me, anyway.
Yeah, that's why I said.
Yeah, he said, Bob, if there's one thing I never, ever want to do in my life again, is lay the 10
you
for
stick
anything.
With the plan and it works.
Yeah.
To a degree.
Individual,
just like everything else.
Individual results may vary.
Yeah, but I've certainly covered a lot. And I've got a few things in the queue that people are asking me to relook at crew strategies and laying the 10. And
okay.
Should you don't or lay. It's not going anywhere. It'll definitely be a topic for more videos in the near future, most likely, because it's a great way to hedge. Not for Jim so much.
No.
But overall, I'm curious if we would have tracked and you would have done the lay 4 instead, if it would have been a better result for you.
Next time, maybe we can do it again next year after DiceCon or whenever, but maybe we could take copious notes
Yeah.
And see
whether we bet it or not doesn't matter.
Yeah, just to see which one does better.
It would be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is more expensive way to protect your bets than the don't pass or don't come. But
yes,
you get to choose the number. And supposedly there's only a couple dice combinations that'll get you in.
And a couple three. And they do. Yeah, they do.
Yeah, can you imagine him getting knocked off lane 11 or 12?
Yeah,
most don't allow lays on crappers,
yeah,
but I think the Strat still does. That's who invented crapless craps, and I think they allow a lay.
Still the one I have not played at. I was going to try to get over there this year, and it didn't happen, so I have to wait till next year. Yeah.
Okay, I say we put a fork in this one.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for watching and listening. Check out the new video tomorrow, the Skill 66 on the Color Up channel. And yeah, I guess we'll see you next week for another podcast.
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah, hopefully with a camera.
Yeah, hopefully with a camera. All right, we'll see you guys. Thanks for watching.
Bye, everybody.